Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of The Winning Drive, the holiday edition of The Winning Drive. So happy Memorial Day to everybody out there. We hope everybody out there is celebrating Memorial Day, having a great time with friends and family, but also remembering that for those who are paid the ultimate price so that we can live in the greatest society that man's ever known and do what we do today and have the freedom to do what we do right now, which is to talk to you guys and have a great time. But there are folks out there who were so courageous and paid the ultimate price for us all and for our freedom, because freedom ain't free. So we appreciate everybody who is celebrating Memorial Day and everybody, of course, who did pay the ultimate price. So that's what Memorial Day is all about. Happy Memorial Day to you too, CB, to everybody out there joining us. Of course, I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers, joined by the coach, Bob Shipley. What's going on, coach? How you doing?
Hot, 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 man. Woo!
Hey!
It's hot out in Abilene, Texas today.
It ain't just Abilene, coach. It's everywhere. It's hot all the time. It's hot everywhere. It ain't just Abilene. It's hot right here in the ATX. CJ Vogel joining us as well. Lifetime logo, CJ Vogel. CJ, how you doing, man? How you dealing with the heat?
Well, I'm staying inside. That's how I'm dealing with it. Coach still got that good tan going. Yeah, I was out late this weekend, but I don't want to go back out and see the sun anymore yet than I have to.
Nah, it's wild, man. It's hot. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm from H-Town, so it's humid in H-Town. And usually, hey, appreciate you guys. Like and subscribe, of course. In H-Town, it's a different – we call it a two-shower city. Got to shower twice a day. Ain't no way around it. You can try to get around it. If you do, you're going to end up being stanky. That's just the way it is. You're going to end up being a little bit funky because you're going to sweat in H-Town. Everybody's sweating. Women, men, can't avoid it. One of those two shower cities, and now I feel like Texas is a two shower state, man. It's already hot. It ain't really even dealing with June yet, and yet we're still dealing with triple digits. I think it was like 95 or something like that today. We're damn near close to triple digits, man. It's crazy. So yeah, Hopefully you guys are avoiding the heat. We appreciate you guys for joining us. Happy Memorial Day to everybody out there. We'll get into a couple of topics. So I want to get CJ's thoughts and coach's thoughts about, look at this. 60 degrees. I don't know where you at. 65. There you go. My man CB said 65. He's up there in the Pacific Northwest, so I understand where he's at. Other than that, you must be dealing with some really nice AC if you're dealing with 65 degrees down here in the state of Texas. But I want to get to it. We'll get to a very interesting commitment that the Longhorns had. Apparently, history has been made. I don't know if I've ever remember a group of triplets committing to one school, CJ. We've seen brothers committing, families committing, triplets committing to one university. That's pretty wild. Now, two of those are going to be scholarship guys and one a preferred walk-on. But still, talk about something that, I don't know, I think is unprecedented. I've never heard of triplets committing to the same school like that. That's first of all, having triplets anyway, they can all play Division I ball, but all triplets that can actually play that decide to play at the same university is also something that I've never heard of before. Maybe it's out there. You're a recruiting guy. You ever heard of anything like this before?
No, not like this. And I think it's really cool for all three of them to share this commitment together. Of course, you know, you have triplets. You know, how often do you see 1,000 pounds worth of triplets combined go off and play college football collectively? And I think that's really exciting. Of course, you have the St. Browns, but they were just brothers, right? Back in the day.
Yeah.
Canisius, Amon-Ra.
Not triplets.
Not triplets, but and certainly not committing all to the same university, the same program at the same time. So for that to be the case, how cool for them to be able to enjoy that together. Of course, Devin and Jordan will be on scholarship. Isaiah, I don't want to call him the runt in the litter, but he is the smaller one. He's 6'2", 300, Rod. How about that?
That's the smallest.
You can really call him, but at that same point, I mean, Devin 6'4", 340, Jordan 6'5", 350. So those boys are big, and they play some really talented, really, really tough physical football. I'm excited to see what Texas is getting. Pair of offensive linemen. Of course, Isaiah going to be a preferred walk-on on the defensive side of the ball. So they'll be going against each other every day in practice. Pretty cool sign. Cool story, nonetheless.
Coach, you've been around a lot longer than us. I mean, the odds, have you ever heard anything like that? I'm sure. I mean, obviously, you're part of one of those great legacies here in Texas. You ever heard of triplets before? Oh, never. Committed to the same school, same program?
Never. Hey, she deserves some NIL kickback just for feeding those kids for 18 years. My mercy.
Yeah, man, I can't imagine that grocery bill, Coach. What's that grocery bill like? You done fed some scholarship players in your time. That's a that grocery bill. Imagine that for 300-pound triplets. What's that grocery? I would like to know the grocery bill for Mama. I want to know what you're spending. Yeah, HEB. The NIL opportunities though for triplets though.
Oh yeah.
That's easy. That's easy, Coach. That's good money. Yeah. Tell you. Because HEB can jump on that. You put Mama in there too and be like, I used to spend a lot of money on groceries for these three triplets. But now, that's why I shop at HEB. Boom. Great savings. No matter how big the family is. I mean, big. Boom. There you go. You got HEB.
Look at that.
I just wrote the script for you. Easy.
He's creating an NIL deal right before our eyes. Advertising guru that he is, Rod Babers.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's too easy. With those three guys, that's going to be easy money. Anyway, so that got me to thinking. We've been talking about this for a while, actually. So this is serendipitous. We've been talking about this for like a couple of weeks. We want to do a draft, and we're going to do it today, a draft of the greatest familial legacies in Texas sports history, regardless of sports, regardless of what type of family connection. Boom, it can be anything. It can be brother, sister, you know, brother, brother, sister, sister, mom, dad, mom, daughter, whatever. Doesn't matter. All right? It can be any of them. Long as they ended up being actual family, we good. That's the only rules the draft have. We're going to do five rounds. I'll go last in the draft, so I don't care. I'll go last because I'm so confident in my ability to once again win one of our many drafts, that I will go last. Because I tell you, my list right now is money. It's money. But then y'all, Coach, you and CJ, y'all can choose between, you know, greatest, you know, familial connections, legacies at Texas and Texas sports. There were a bunch of them, too. I was shocked.
There were a pretty good amount, huh? Weren't there?
Oh, man. It was so many. And we're going to – some of them may be dispute. I might try to dispute some of these. I don't know. Y'all might want to dispute some, but we're going to figure it out, all right? So we're going to do that. We're going to do that first, have some fun. We'll also get into – I want to look at every different position and see who are the top players at every position that Texas will play on the schedule. Who's the best QB? Best wide receiver? Best tight end? Tackle? Guard? Go through it, and in the end, we'll see kind of who the teams that stack up to have the most of those guys on Texas schedule. Because I was talking to a friend of mine about, you know, the quarterbacks that Texas is going to play, and really they don't play that many great ones. They play the best, arguably the best quarterback in college football potentially, but then after that, there's not a lot of great quarterbacks they end up playing, and that's how this conversation. That's kind of how it got kind of spitballing and rolling. So I want to have that conversation with you guys. And we can go position by position. Of course, all of your questions or comments, we'll get to those as well. As many as you got, throw them out there. We'll get to as many of them as you can. Okay, so let's start off with the draft. I want to get to the draft. I've been itching to do it. And how y'all want to decide who's going to get the number one overall pick? Coach and CJ, I'll let gentlemen decide. Like I said, I'm going third here.
Coach, you want to take it?
Ooh, okay.
Oh, man.
Uh-huh. Not a lot of pressure. Coach may concede and give it to you.
I'm giving it to Coach. If he wants it, he can have it. If not, I'll sit back and wait a little bit.
He is the only one that actually has a great, all-time great family legacy in Texas in the sports world. The rest of us actually don't. So I do think he should decide. It should be Coach's decision. What you want to do, Coach? You actually do have skin in the game. The rest of us, we on the outside looking in here.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I'm going to go. I'll take that first pick. And
take it.
I'm sorry to say I didn't go back and look up the stats for the entire family. You ain't got to. Huh?
You ain't got to look up no stats. It's all on what Coach want.
Okay. Well, since I'm the old gangster here, the OG. I'm going to pull way back to the 70s to get my boys from Tyler, Texas.
Yep. I already knew.
Earl Campbell, Steve Campbell, Tim Campbell, all playing for the Longhorns. Of course, Tim and Steve were twins. And I'm not Ronnie Lee came. I'm not so sure. I mean, you know, they had some players out of John Tyler back then. But I'm going to go with the greatest running back I've ever seen in person. Both. Earl Campbell and Steve and Tim, his brothers.
That's a money.
I mean, if it was just Earl by himself, I would say
he's still good.
Earl was the baddest dude I ever saw. He counts as a whole family.
Yes. Because his thighs were just like kinfolk. They were both their own family members together. You know, I'm with you, Coach. And they were the top of my list. I had the Campbell brothers. So that's money. Good job. Great pick. CJ, you own it. Great pick.
I'm going to go a little, father and son action here. I'll go with the Clemens family. A little baseball over to the baseball field. Roger Clemens, Casey, and Cody. I'd say they had a pretty good successful run here in Austin on the dish. So I'm going to rock with them. That's my first overall pick there. I'm happy with it. And, of course, those kids are still playing ball right now in the league too. So that certainly helps my case as well.
That's great. It's fantastic. That really is. That's what I'm saying. I love it. Thinking outside the box. All sports are thrown in here. All right. That's a great one. That was at the top of my list too. This is tough, man. I'm not going to lie. This is tough. Because I know, and by the way, are we doing snake draft here, correct? Are we, as always,
snake
draft crew here? Okay, in that case, I'm going with the street family. That's right. No doubt about it. We got to go with the street family on this one, man. We got James Street. Then there's Houston Street. And there's Justin Street. Oh, man, that street's all over the place. There should be a street named after the streets. Let's be honest about that, okay? No doubt about that. We're going to go with that. 20-0. Also, multiple sports with the James Street. So you got that too. So I'm gonna go with the Street family. Boom. That's me. That's my top pick there. All right. Going back to back picks. Ooh, this is a good one. All right. You know what? It might be happening. Oh, yeah, I gotta do it. Let's go Colt and Case. Let's go Colt and Case. All time great. Colt and Case. We got the McCoy family in this. We're representing. The McCoys and the streets. Come on now. Boom.
Pretty good, Rob. That's a good start. That's a good start. I can't deny it.
Yeah. Come on.
All right. Let's see here. I'm up. So I gotta make a good pick here because I know Rod's loading up. Coach definitely got some names under.
I got some surprises still, man. Some surprises.
My favorite thing in the world is money. And so I'm going the Cash family.
Oh!
A little throwback right there, a little Keith and Carrie, huh? I did my research here. I see that some folks in the chat helping me out here. Of course, Fred Johnson, great pick. I like that one. I'm rocking with them.
I like that. Damn, that's good. That's good. I like that. Cash, man. Straight cash, homie.
That's all right.
You up? You got back to backs here too.
Who?
You.
You.
All right.
You want a snake? Right. We snaking it.
Being an old man that I am, I'm gonna go back even further than the Campbells. I'm going with the Coy family.
Oh,
one of my buddies, Ted Coy, starting running back, national champions, Texas Longhorns. The father was Ted Coy, played about 30 years before that, and then Ted Jr. So there's three Coys. And if you don't know about the Coys, just look them up because all you do is just wasted a draft pick because I just shot right above all of y'all, maybe even the Campbells, with the three Coys that were big time players at the University of Texas.
I love that. Hey, that's good. I had him on my list too, Coach. You got Ernie on there too, along with the Teds. Ernie. Cross him off now. Because that was on my list too, Coach. I done my research. I was ready for that one. That's good.
That was a good pick. Coach, you got another one coming up here.
You got back to back.
I'm going to do a little modern now with a little bit of a mixture from the old school to new school. I'm going with Johnny Johnson.
Damn.
All-American defensive back from LaGrange, Texas. Probably class of 75, I guess, something like that. And then, of course, his boys, Colin Johnson and Kirk Johnson. Colin, of course, still in the league.
That's good.
I had a couple there I could have gone with, but
that's good.
That's it.
No, that's good. That is good, man. That's good.
That is a good pick.
That was at the top of my list too, right there, Coach. Oh yeah, come on. I know it's if y'all don't. Okay, go ahead, CJ. Go ahead,
Coach. I mean, I'm looking at Coach is shooting up. I mean, he's going up the boards, man. I don't know if I've even got it. You know, a remote chance here, but hey, family helps. Cousins help. I'm going Jammer and Diggs. They're cousins.
Oh, get
something early. Get me some all pros. That's you know, good. I got to get some help here, Coach. That's all I'm saying.
That's good. That's good. I like that. I thought I was going to surprise.
Okay, well, hang on. One thing about being the OG, I couldn't hear his pick. What was that pick? I didn't hear it.
Well, Quentin Jammer.
What was that pick again, Sonny?
The kid was a Jew.
Quentin Jammer and Quandre Diggs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Great.
They're brothers.
You shot up on that one now.
Yeah, that's Q. Q and Q, baby. Them brothers.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's on the radar. That was going to be, AC, I thought I was going to surprise y'all with that one. That was going to be one of mine right there.
I'm glad it fell to me. I'm telling you right now, I'm glad it fell to me.
Well, this is easy then. I don't even know what this is. The easiest pick I ever made. I will gladly.
I already know who it is.
You know who it is. You know who it is.
I know who you're going to pick.
Hey, hey, part of this family, greatest wide receiver in Texas football history, and my co-host on the winning drive for them Shipley's, baby, because he coached on the staff. We're talking about Jordan Jackson and Coach Bob Shipley's, baby. We're taking damn right.
Hey, CJ, we just shot right past him.
I'm in the dumps, Coach.
With that pick, CJ.
I've only seen one generation of Longhorns, Coach. Come on, ain't even close.
That's not who I thought you were going to pick.
Oh, you know, that's who I'm picking. Hell, you damn right. But the greatest receiver in Texas football history, I'll take it. I'll take it all day. I got a snake pick, though. I got back-to-back, so I'm good on this one.
That's right.
This is actually – this is interesting. There's several I can go with here. But I might surprise y'all, man. I might surprise y'all because I don't even think y'all thinking about these. This is something that's going to come off. It's going to be off the beaten path here. I'm going to go with Sonya Richards Ross and Aaron Ross.
Yeah.
Married couple. Boom. Yeah. Y'all didn't know that? DBU, baby. Yeah. I can't let that sit through. Gold medalist. All right. National champion, Thorpe Award winner. Come on now. Come on. Y'all can beat that now. Come on now.
We might be forgetting this draft here soon, Coach. I ain't bringing this one up ever again.
He shot passes on that one. I didn't even think about that one.
Mm-hmm. See, my last pick, I don't even know if I'm in the same stratosphere as the two of you guys. I mean, I was going to go with the Foreman brothers. You got a Doak Walker Award in there. I mean, it's hardware. It's not a gold medal. It's not.
That's good.
Listen, my knowledge of the Texas familiar lineage doesn't go all the way back. Let me be completely honest here. So we're sticking it with a little closer to now. I'll add the Foreman brothers to my tally here.
Quality draft pick. They were also on my list. Quality pick. Yep. That's good.
All right,
Coach.
I cannot believe these guys are left on the board. But you could take it off now. Michael and Cedric Griffin.
Hold up. Whoa, it's Michael and Marcus Griffin.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Cedric Griffin, different Griffins than the Marcus, I believe, Marcus and Michael Griffin, the ones that went to Bowie.
Cedric
Griffin, who I believe is from Saytown. If I'm not mistaken.
No wonder y'all didn't have that on the board. See there?
I had Michael and Marcus. I had Michael and Marcus on here.
Well, they ain't on the board anymore. They're off now.
All right. I believe that's the case. If I'm mistaken, then I'm about to, but I believe it's different Griffins. Mike, there you go. Marcus and Michael.
Marcus and Michael, okay.
Which is still good. Still good.
I'm going back to back.
Good group of Griffins.
Am I going back to back?
This is your last pick, Coach.
Yep.
All right. Cedric and Derek Dockery.
That's good. Ooh.
Hickory, yep. Dickory, Dockery. The ship just won the draft. Hickory, Dickory, Dock. Look at that thing. The ship just won it all, Doc.
That's a good one. That's quality right there, Coach. I ain't gonna lie. That's a good one. That's a good one. I ain't gonna lie. I play with my man Derek Dockery, so I'm with you on that one. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Derek Dockery got into politics after football. So trying to run for local office or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
I like is that school board?
No, I think he was trying to get on Capitol Hill. Go Google it. This is an exercise of y'all Googling. Go Google it. I believe Derek Dockery tried to get on Capitol Hill with some. Yeah,
who is it that's on the Pflugerville or Round Rock School Board?
Oh, that's my man, Alex Okafor.
Yep.
Alex Okafor. Yeah, he just won. Yeah, Alex Okafor is a fantastic human being. And matter of fact, that's something he has been aspiring to, you know, because he wants to help the communities from there. I do the podcast with him. So Alex is great. He's a great guy. And they are lucky to have him. Very lucky to have somebody like that on board. But there you go. Okay. So now it's CJ. Is your last pick?
Ooh. I thought that was – we're doing four, we're doing five.
We're doing five.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. All right.
You want to borrow one of my picks?
Let's see here, Coach.
If I'm not mistaken, right? Did I lose count here? Because Coach did back-to-back. He went.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. There's still some good ones out there, though.
I know. That's the issue is I'm kind of stuck on where to go, you know. We got some good guys out here.
I could give you a couple, honestly.
You know what?
Clemens Cash. He's got a Jeremy. He's got the Foreman. So just your last pick.
It's my last pick. I'm struggling a little bit. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, dude, that's one slapping you in the face. And he does ESPN. He does. I don't know if he's ESPN or Fox Sports. Now he did both actually. And he used to work for LHN. And he's got another brother that also does NFL Live right now. And they are brilliant.
I don't understand where you're going, Nacho Brothers.
There you go. That would be my next pick.
They are brilliant. They're awesome. They actually quote Canterbury Tales and Shakespeare in everyday conversation. And you're like, are you serious? Did you just quote Shakespeare in front of me while we were just talking about, you know what I mean, like just regular football? Like, yes. Nacho Brothers. You're damn right. Because they're at the top of my list. I was going to go Nacho Brothers on them too. I got another one I'm still saving, actually, that I don't think y'all have gotten to. So I think I'm going to get to this right now then. Oh, I got like three of them I haven't gotten to, actually. Okay. All right. So I'm just going to win this whole damn thing once and for all with this pick. I do believe. Because y'all did a good job on taking away some of my top picks. Okay. There's three families I could go with here. And I'm going to throw them all out there and see which one I should go with, all right? Just see if I can buzz the crowd real quick. I could go with the Studdard family. Remember Casey Studdard? He has an uncle, and I want to say his dad and his uncle actually both played at Texas. There's the McWilliams family, Hunter McWilliams, and, of course, Coach David McWilliams. To throw that on there, that's probably the best choice. Or I can go with the Vaccaro family, Kenny and Kevin.
All right. What about sin line?
Oh, that's a good one, Coach. I forgot all about the sin line family. Well done.
Okay. And don't forget Brett Hager.
Damn.
Brett Hager, Breckenhager.
Oh, Coach, you just made it more difficult.
Yeah.
Throwing that Hager in there, that's actually.
And if you want to go OG, you can go back to Jeff and Bill Zappalack. Old school.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Oh, man. Okay, Coach, you made it difficult. I didn't realize. I forgot about the Hagers on there. I don't know why I didn't have them on my list. That's crazy. What am I doing? All right. I'm going to go with Coach is right, actually. You know what? Yeah, Coach is right. I'm going to go with the Hager family. Yeah, Britt and Breaking. Yeah, Britt's, I mean, that's the guy's all time. So he's right. That's the way to go. Yep. Yeah, so you can put that on there with a coach with a Coach Shipley recommendation.
Yeah,
I put Hager's on there. He's right. But that just lets you know how deep the whole point of the exercise is, how deep the family legacies go at Texas. We got one on our own damn show. We're lucky to have them, blessed to have them. But then, I mean, they're guys we didn't even like talk about. Like you pointed out, Coach, you brought up what said the Zapolak family. You say Zapolak?
Yeah.
Now I got to go down the rabbit hole and research the Zapolak family. Because I'm ignorant to Zapolak family.
It makes me – I got to turn on either LHN or hit the library, Coach. There's a lot of names I'm not even familiar with.
I've done a few more trips around this earth than y'all have.
Hey, thank God for that, because we appreciate the wisdom that we get all the time from Coach. So there you go. That was a nice little exercise. It's our mini draft for the day, so we appreciate the guys. Basically, we come up with all these random ideas, just throw them around. Hope you guys have some fun with them. Hopefully they're a little bit educational too, which is honestly, like I said, I wrote down some stuff, so I learned some stuff. I'll be rabbit holing.
Have you seen any comments of anybody we missed?
I'm sure we missed
Brockemeyer, not
Brockemeyer. Yep. I forgot about that. Mike Campbell and his sons. There's a different group of McCoys, 70s, too.
Back in the 70s, there were two brothers that were safeties or DBs, white guys, and one of them played for the Miami Dolphins. Blackburn? Kelly. I can't remember. Somebody will remember that, though. Two brothers. I want to say maybe they were from San Antonio.
Okay.
Anyway, never mind.
No, you're right about that. And then my man CB brought up.
They were so great. Cole
Pittman and Chase Pittman.
I mean, I'll never forget those guys. Let's see, what was their name?
Yeah. No, trust me. That's an old
joke. A coach, I said, I'll never forget that kid. One of the best players I'll never forget him. What was his name, Coach?
No, that reminds me, Coach. I remember hearing Nick Saban talk about players. Blackwell. Yeah. No, you're right about that. DBU, no question. Yep. I can remember researching. This is random off topic. I did an all-time rankings of DBU, maybe 8 years ago now. I should update it. We should do it on the show one day. I did like top 50 rankings of the greatest DBs in DBU history. I ranked myself. I think I was ranked at like literally number 21 or 22.
Fitting, huh? Right.
No, it really was. I swear, I did not do it on purpose, CJ. That's how deep it was. I thought I was gonna be higher. Dude, I was like, I'm trying to pump myself up. I started comparing these resumes, and I was like, oh man, that's crazy. Someone said DKR will be mad at y'all. Listen, it's tough. That's how many great family legacies there are here in Texas. Like there are a bunch of we forgot about the Duvernays, Devin and Donovan Duvernay.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Duvernay. Yeah, somebody said y'all mentioned the Street Fam. No, I drafted the Street Fam first. That was like one of my first picks, so I was all about the streets, man. That's no doubt. But there's so many great ones, guys. That's the whole point. Both the Talberts were all Americans. Yeah, we gonna miss because it's something about brothers, and not only brothers, familial legacies at Texas. It's something about it. It's deeply rooted. It's kind of my point. And I would love for somebody because I ain't got the time, and I'm a little too lazy to do it these days to do an actual study. Deep dive rabbit holing of all the universities, like the universities across the country, and just the top ones pretty much. I don't think this will happen at kind of mid-majors and lower tier universities, and find out how many familial connections there are and how many there are. Because I think Texas has as many as any university, if not more than everybody else. And we're focusing on football mostly, but there are some other ones in other sports that we didn't even focus on that we probably are a little ignorant to. And mostly they are football, but I would debate with anybody that Texas has as many, if not more, than everybody out there. And I would hope that John Bianco, I know the late great Bill Little, who's just a saint in terms of a great historian for Longhorn sports, that somebody would have like a master list every year and add to it when the triplets decide to commit to UT and you get three brothers come at the same time, that somebody would have a master list of this because somebody should start keeping up with it. Hell, maybe it should be us, but somebody should because I'm telling you, it's pretty impressive, like really impressive. That's kind of my point. And Coach, you're obviously a shining example of it. And I'm proud.
Well, I'll tell you, I haven't said anything about this, but I actually have a great uncle that was a basketball player at UT named Orin Spears. Orin Spears. And my father told me he was in the Texas Basketball Hall of Fame.
Come but on.
I haven't been able to verify that. All I verified was he played at Charlton and then he transferred to Texas. And man, he had some kind of running jump shot, some kind of thing. Orin Spears. I don't know. You can look him up. But he's way back in the day.
I love that. I love that. And then, like I said, now my draft looks even better. Thank you, Coach, for proving that I won the draft. Thank you. You went even deeper. You proved that I definitely won the draft. I got the Shipley family on there. And then we just added another one. Different sports with the familial connection. Boom. Yes, I did. Thank y'all very much. Yeah, matter of fact, Matthew will get that for us. Matthew's been organizing. I saw him organizing it behind the scenes. We'll get y'all the actual teams of the drafts. And I'm sure by the end of the show, he will reveal how much I won by because of my great family.
CJ, listen to that. Would you listen to
you
that?
You know, you come on, y'all. Y'all know it ain't even close at this point.
Coach, I gotta. It's between. I'm gonna push all my come voters on to you. I don't have a chance in this.
Come on.
Hey, all I know is if I got Earl on my team, we always got a chance. Okay? Always.
That is true. Hey, that I will admit to. Coach is right about that. You're damn right. Coach
and,
is right.
And there's not going to be any better stories at halftime than what Earl could tell.
That's true. I don't want to – do I – I don't have a Pro Football Hall of Famer with on my group, do I? Oh, Tony Hills and Jeremy Hills? See?
Yeah. Missed that one.
See? That's what – thank you, CB.
Then, yeah. See, this would have been – if I had a call a friend here, I don't think I would have probably had CB on the phone the entire draft. He would have been in my ear the whole draft.
Yes.
That's the walking encyclopedia, man. Thanks, CB, for all the comments and intel, the knowledge.
Well, if rest his soul, he passed on. But if he hadn't, I'd have had Bill Little on the phone with me.
Amen.
Bill Little could rip him off without any note, without even looking at any files.
And a story with each one. Coach.
And a story. And a recruiting an story.
An anecdote with each one. Yeah, so I totally agree with you. My hope is that Bill, somewhere in his note. Oh, the Sarkisians. Oh, I forgot. You're right. That's true. That's a great point. That is a great point. Because his son is a linebacker, right?
That's right. Brady, he went to Modern Day. Went to Modern Day early in his high school career. Now a linebacker, was a walk-on linebacker for the Longhorns. Hey, it's easy being a Big 12 champion linebacker, too. How about that?
Oh, see, that counts. I like that. I want to say, didn't Mac Brown's stepson played on the like it was like a he was like a no he was like on the staff
he was, he was like a yeah staff. He yeah he was he like was a recruiting
yes. It was like it Chris his name was Chris I believe
I think it was yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Yeah So I guess I technically, hey, we didn't have any parameters on it. If you didn't even work for Texas, we'll throw that out there too. But that's a great point. I didn't think about that. So anyway, keep them coming. We appreciate you guys and your participation in the show. We're having a great time. All right, before we keep going, because I know we want to get into the best players that Texas will play at each position coming up in the 2024 season. I think it's an interesting exercise, and I think it'll get Longhorn fans a little bit more acquainted with who the Longhorns are going to play in 2024, who the best players are. But before we do that, speaking of the best players, South Point, they're one of the best players, and we appreciate their support. And, of course, our friends at South Point Dodge have been with us now for about a month, and we appreciate them supporting the winning drive and on Texas football. So, Texas football fans, if you're looking to score an extra point this season, when you get to the point at South Point Dodge, South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, and their award-winning sales staff, they don't play games. They're not about gimmicks. They just get right to the point, straight to the point, by getting you the best deal possible at South Point Dodge. So score today at South Point Dodge. You can go see them off I-35 in South Austin, or you can go online at southpointdodge.com. Get to the point today at South Point Dodge. They are your number one shop. Austin's number one automotive everything is South Point Dodge. So thank you very much for your support. All right, let's get back to it here. We got a couple of questions that I want to get to before we talk about the best players that Texas will play at each position. Jess C., I think this is more for you, CJ. How confident are you guys that we get Moore and French. DeCorian Moore, I'm assuming the five-star receiver. Is it Jamie French?
Yes.
Jamie French, the other receiver. He's from Florida, by the way. DeCorian Moore is Texas. Both are five-star receivers, but one's French is from Florida, and DeCorian Moore is from Texas. CJ, your thoughts about these two five-stars? What's your thought about Texas even getting just the three five-stars in this class, which you think is a bit implausible?
Well, it's on the table. There's a possibility. Don't get me wrong. Speaking about Kalik Lockett here, of course. But, of course, you have to think about it as in the shoes of Kalik, you know. And I think right now DeCorian is that top guy on the board, and I think Texas really, really likes Jamie French. If you're that third guy in the boat and you start looking around and say, all right, there's a couple other five stars in this group, not to say that you're not as talented as that group, but at the same time, there's only one football going around, and I'm sure – other programs would look at a five-star caliber wide receiver with a bigger plan for the offense. Maybe they can pitch immediate playing time. Maybe they can pitch, hey, you won't have to fight for targets, for shares in that spot as well. I really like where Texas sits for DeCorian Moore. Of course, he's the number one wide receiver in the country. Jamie French, things really flipped around in terms of Texas's favor after he visited April 6th, very early in that spring session, had a great time. He sat around with DeCorian Moore. He sat with Kelshon Johnson. Of course, KJ Lacy was there as well. And it certainly helps having your quarterback locked up in this class. Texas made a big jump there. Ohio State fell a little bit. That's where a lot of predictions went early for Jamie French. Right now, it looks like it's going to be Texas, Tennessee. LSU is going to have an opportunity in this one as well. But I like Texas's chances at the moment. I do believe that they are the poll leader for Jamie French and DeCorian Moore. Now it's all about finals. Who else joins them in this class? Of course, official visits this summer are going to tell a lot about where all of them end up. Of course, it's not a slam dunk that either end up at Texas, though I do believe Texas is in a good spot. So we'll see going into the summer months. Of course, Texas will be hosting a number of other big wide receiver prospects as well. Kelshon Johnson, Tanuk Hines, Daylon McCutcheon, who I'm a huge fan of, Andrew Marsh, and of course, the Lancaster wide receiver, the 6'4 kid as well. So a lot going on, but at the moment, I do think it's likely, more likely than not, that Moore and French end up in the Texas class. But, of course, we'll see how the summer months go.
All right, good stuff there from my man CJ. Here's another question from AJJ underscore sports. This is a good one. I want both you guys to contribute to this. And, Coach, I'm going to throw it to you first. AJJ underscore sports says Texas is 1-2 basically against the veer and shoot brand of spread offenses since Sark took over. There's a bunch of these offenses waiting for them in the SEC. How do y'all think Sark and PK adjust? That's interesting. I'm trying to think because you know that obviously Jeff Lebby going to Mississippi State, that's a veer and shoot guy, literally from that kind of the Art Browse tree related to it. speaking of familial connections, there is Tennessee Josh Heupel, right? He's a veer and shoot guy from, you can throw that out there. Some would say Seth Luttrell taking over at Oklahoma has veer and shoot tendencies as well. Even though he's an air raid guy that he can bend itself toward the veer and shoot, if you will, in some of their base principles. There is, I'm trying to think of the other ones. Lane Kiffin's offense actually is not that far from, at times, can be like a veer and shoot offense. So I guess Lane Kiffin can be thrown in that conversation if you want him to as well. I don't know. And you guys thinking about any other offenses in the SEC that can be considered veer and shoot? I mean, that's four opponents that you could face in the future. Two you're going to face this year because Oklahoma and Mississippi State are going to run that type of offense. Any thoughts on that, Coach, about why Texas and Sark maybe 1-2? And I think the 1-2 are obviously Oklahoma was one of the losses. Arkansas, when you played them, Kendall Browse, that was one of the losses. And then you beat Kendall Browse last season when he was the TCU offensive coordinator. Any thoughts, guys, about why Texas 1-2 versus veer and shoot offense? Is that something unique, you think?
Well, I think a little bit when you look at those offenses is who's running those offenses, right? You know, Texas did have to face a couple older veteran quarterbacks in that group as well. Of course, I do think Texas, when they face the veer and shoot, a lot of that is designed to take away interior pressure, right? It's moving the pocket a little bit, find holes down the field, use the RPO to their advantage as well. What's going to help Texas in this advantage or in these matchups are the edge rushers. Can you get pressure off the edges coming off the field? And right now, Texas's edge room is looking like it will be better, or at least getting after the quarterback a little bit more, you know, consistently than what we saw a year ago. So whether or not it's a true trend or not, I do think that is worth looking into. I've certainly not heard much about the Veer and Shoot and PK's defenses in the past, but I mean, that's a new rabbit hole I'll have to dive into, Rod, just to get an idea. Of course, getting a new look of a new conference where teams will look to kind of deter Texas from their tendencies in years past. Of course, we've seen the Big 12 over the last couple of years kind of adopt that cover three high look safety approach when it comes to Texas. What will the SEC do? Will they take a page out of that Iowa State, Kansas State, Oklahoma State playbook? We'll have to wait and see, but I'm sure there's a number of schools out there right now with the wide receivers, the running backs, the offensive line, that different skill set looking at the Texas defense with the way that they're already looking to approach them.
Coach, what are your thoughts about the Veer and Shoot? Good point by AJJ underscore sports.
Well, I think, you know, I hate to keep talking about how old I dadgum am.
Hey, I appreciate it.
But Art Browse, I watched this thing evolve in Stephenville, Texas. We weren't calling it the Veer and Shoot there, but what I remember talking to Browse back in the 80s, and we were on the board talking ball, and so everybody had a hard time with their receivers. So he's running the Veer option to a receiver, and the receiver, instead of blocking, he just takes off down the field. All right, the quarterback's running with the ball parallel line of scrimmage. And if the corner comes up to take the pitch man, he just raise up and hit the wide receiver out there. Just kind of, you know, he's kind of checked down a little bit in that open area. And then, of course, you get into the it wasn't necessarily the it was a counter. It was a counter keep that where the quarterback would keep it on the counter. But we saw it more with Vince as the zone. We call it the zone read, but Browse did it with the counter tray, and then you know, the pass off of it, and all the quarterback keep pass and all that, and it's a lot of stuff that a lot of us in high school coaching in the 90s and early 2000s were doing, and not many other people were doing it, and it was very successful. But to be a Veer and Shoot team, you've got to have a quarterback that's somewhat of a threat to run it. You know, or it wouldn't be the Veer, you know. but I think it's fun. It's fun to watch that evolve. It's fun. It's fun to watch that just morph as it goes into different coaches' programs, and they put their spin on it, and somebody else puts their spin on it, and it's a copycat league, right? I mean, that Sark says almost every single thing he gets, he copies it from somebody else, and you just put them all together and, you know, make it fit in your package. But I think it's one of those things that defenses will catch up to. I think our defense will be more ready this year than they were last year for it. And I think we've covered everybody that I've seen on the schedule that are going to run some type of version of the Veer and Shoot.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think ultimately the only team that can really threaten you with it this season would be Oklahoma. I don't see Mississippi State having enough pieces to threaten you with it, but is Jeff Lebby would know something about it. But I think, you know, if Seth Luttrell and Oklahoma are running some version of it with the talent that they could, you know, obviously.
That'll definitely be the biggest threat, Rod.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Because I think you're going to have a higher ceiling with that kind of offense with a Jackson Arnold. I just think he's a more polished passer, of course. And that's not a knock on Blake Shapen, but he's been a guy that's been injured for quite a while now. You know, he transferred from Baylor. It's been a minute since he's fully healthy on the field. I don't think Texas played Blake Shapen last year when they went down to Waco. So,
no.
Of course, it's going to be a different offense, different style of play for him. And, of course, you look at Oklahoma's wide receivers, and I would argue that they're probably the best group in the SEC. You know, I think very deep room. I think they have a tremendous group. Andrew Anthony, a guy who tore his ACL the week prior to the Texas game a year ago. Nick Anderson, a freshman All-American. Yeah. And now you add Deion Burks, who's getting mocked in the second or third round of next year's NFL draft. That's a really good trio that you can trot out there and expect big production. It's interesting because when you look at what they do in that offense, just get down the field. Allow the ball to get down there and go get it. That was what Nick Anderson almost averaged, I think, 22 yards per catch a year ago as a true freshman. Yep. And he wasn't doing that off of like six touches. You know, this is a guy that was an All-American. So I like that offensive wide receiving room a lot this year. And it's all about, one, can you have an offensive line to protect and give enough time for your quarterback to get the ball down there? And two, can your quarterback get the ball down there? Because we did see a couple of interceptions and turnovers in that bowl game. So if he takes that leap, that offense will still be pretty tough. I'm going to put it pretty honestly there.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff there. Okay, let's get to – I want to stick with you, CJ. You've been working hard, of course. You're always working hard for the folks over at Owen Texas Football. And you actually got a chance to interview a couple of Texas defensive backs, Michael Taff and Jelani McDonald. If you haven't heard it, please go check it out over at On Texas Football. It's a great interview, sit-down interview. Not sit-down, but just a face-to-face interview that he got with the guys there. But they were working with Bam. And for those who don't know, Bam, the footwork coach. For those who don't know who Bam is, and you obviously know him very well. He trusts you because you've got a chance to get into the workouts, which I know are not open for the public. But let people know who Bam is. And who are these guys that are working with Bam behind the scenes here in the ATX?
Yeah. Bernard Blake is, you know, he runs Bam Performance, of course, down in the area. Was a Colorado State cornerback back in the day, played a little bit for the Packers. Now, back in the Austin area, one of the top trainers in the state, one of the best in the country. I mean, you look at his track record and guys that he's been able to produce out of Austin, Texas. It's pretty darn impressive. On the Texas roster right now, Michael Taft, Jelani McDonald, Jahdae Barron, impressive stuff. Andrew Makuba, of course, there are a number of other guys as well. Devin Lemire was an all Big 12 safety for Baylor this past year. Dante Carter just signed with Vanderbilt a year ago. Of course, he's working with Ramon Adams, the 2025 Bastrop cornerback now. Selman Bridges, familiar name, 6'4 cornerback out of Lake Belton now, Arkansas. But yeah, anybody who has come up, signed with the big program out of the Austin area that backpedals before they run, Rod, they've worked with Bam, and he does a tremendous job. And getting out there to see those guys in action yesterday was awesome because, of course, it's a little peel back of the curtain to see how these guys are working, what kind of work they're putting in right now during this, you know, kind of waiting period for the pads to get back on the shoulders and helmets there. So I was really lucky to see Jelani and Michael Taft go through workouts. And I tell you what, Jelani's excited to be back at safety. You know, he's excited to take that step. He said the game's slowing down a little bit for him. Michael Taft talked about that void of leadership after the departures to the NFL draft and how he's excited to use his voice to go out there and basically become that next level leader. We've known him to be a great leader. And I even asked him afterward during the workout. I said, you know, hey, Michael, are you planning on being a coach after you play ball? I mean, like, what's the plan here? And he goes, man, everybody tells me that. I don't know. But you spend a couple minutes around him, and, you know, there's times in which Bam's working solo with a couple kids, and it's Michael Taft, the one that's leading the charge, leading the way for an individual, you know, skills training session. He's the one now letting kids know when to break, when to twist, when to turn. So it just goes to tell you what kind of character, what kind of you know, person he is behind closed doors. I think he would make a hell of a coach. But, of course, getting to see those guys with Bam, who does, again, a tremendous job. Go check out that interview. We posted that earlier this weekend. Really, really awesome job there. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. And one of the things I loved about the interview, and we won't divulge too many of the details, so go check it out for yourself because it was really good. When Michael Taft was talking, he said one of his favorite, and I want to get coach's thoughts about this, his favorite times of the year as a football player was the month of May. Because he talked about how, you know, most of the year you're working out with your team, with the team workouts, even when it's the off season, even when these summer workouts, it's still team-oriented workouts. He talked about the month of May. I remember him saying this specifically. You remember this, CJ, saying, oh, the month of May, I get to, we get to work on our own individual, you know, checklist of stuff that we want to get to. And I literally, I've said this on this channel. I said, oh man, this is a great time because you have time. Usually you got organized workouts, coach. You got classes, and you got your practice obligations and film study, and the coaches, they want more of your time. And then you got a social calendar as well. You want to go out there and hang out with your friends. This is what one of the few times a year, actually, as a scholarship football player, where you do have time to devote to cultivating your craft. No coaches are pulling you in one direction. You don't really have the team obligations. You don't have the school obligations. It's just you and ball if you want it. And I can tell Taff loves this time of year. Like I used to love this time of year.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think that the leaders on the team obviously rise to the top, you know, during and it's kind of, you know, the passing of the torch, so to speak. This is the time of year where guys historically will start making that move to be a leader on the team. And, you know, organizing things and coaching and encouraging and keeping everybody together. You know, it's self-policing, of course. Yep. You know, you got some people show up late, some guys leave early and all that stuff. You got somebody out there running it all, several people, hopefully. And, yeah, but you know what? It's like you're saying, Rod, it's not for those who just want to stick their toes in the water and see how it feels. It's for people that are all in, yeah. You know, because there is no coach. Most guys do what they do because a coach is watching them.
Exactly.
But you've got to have, I talk about it all the time, you got to have that whatever intrinsic drive inside of you, Chip, whatever it is that you have that motivates you to get up when there's not going to be any coaches there. Coaches may or may not even know. I promise you, coaches know. Each coach has a coaching guy in his room who's reporting back to him who was there and who was not there, okay?
Yeah.
So coaches do know who's there, but that can't be the motivation behind it. You have to be intrinsically motivated to go out and become a better player yourself and a better teammate.
Yep. No, that's exactly right. When nobody's watching, this is the time when nobody's watching. And nobody's going to get on you and criticize you if you ain't out there. Getting the work in and trying to get better. And nobody, this is only, like you said, coach, this is you pushing you. This is you battling against you in this little month. Some guys take it off, and that's fine. But a lot of guys, I remember, man, this was grind time because I know my opponent, they may not be getting that extra work in during the month of May. It's my time to get a little advantage on the guys I'm competing against, but also the guys I'm competing with on the 40 acres. Okay, so I love that. Also, I love that Jelani McDonald said, And everybody comes to this realization in their own way that it was more than about what happens on the field and more than just about, I'm paraphrasing here, more than just about his physical, kind of the physical skill set and the physical ability. And he talked about that, CJ, talking about how, no, it's about learning the football IQ of it, being a student of the game and learning the game more. That's why I think Jelani McDonald may be ready to take his game to the next level. When guys figure that out, then they understand the equal time that must be spent out there getting the drills in, out there on the practice field, in the weight room, but also must be spent in the film room as a student of the game, whether it be self-scouting your own skill set or whether it be scouting future opponents. You got to learn how to get that mental advantage as well. Sounds like he's trying to get that type of advantage, trying to become being a football investigator, where you can look at all the clues that are laid in front of you and be able to solve the play, whatever the play may be. Seems like now he's in that realm of his development.
Yeah, definitely. He spoke about also this spring how that game started to slow down for him.
Yeah.
And Rod, whenever that happens, there's kind of a light bulb moment where it's no longer going 100 miles per hour right in front of you. I think that full-time move to safety, and I kind of joked with him, you know, off the camera, you know, just kind of talking with him. I was like, you know, we used to hear when you were getting recruited, when you first got to campus, it felt like, you know, every coach – that had a position specific in that defense. So they wanted you, right? Maybe they tried to spin you down to a linebacker. Maybe Terry Joseph wanted to see what you could do at cornerback. Did they try you at nickel? How did Blake Gideon end up getting you back to the safety room? He goes, you know what? Like the minute I went full time back there, it just kind of slowed down. And now I understand the game, and now I feel like I can unleash and kind of unlock a new part of my game because I see things a little bit differently than what I did previously. And, of course, I think we saw that this spring. We heard great things about Jelani McDonald this spring in terms of the steps he was taking in practice. He was becoming more and more active, coming to fill run blitzes. And, of course, in the passing game where his length is tremendous. I mean, Oklahoma State recruited him as a linebacker, I believe. But at that same time, you look at what he was able to do in San Antonio for the Under Armour or for the All-American Bowl. He was playing linebacker one-on-one with some of the best cornerbacks in the entire country, wide receivers in the entire country. He did a tremendous job at it. So I'm really excited to see how high his ceiling is at the end of the day, because he is a top talent. He is a guy that once you can fill out his frame and get him completely acclimated to what his role is in the defense, he's going to be a big-time player for you. So, Coach, I wanted to actually use this to segue over a little bit, and we'll get Rod back here in a second. Looks like he dropped out for a little bit, but he'll be back on before we get out. I wanted to segue to you, Coach, because this was a fun conversation that Jerry and I had earlier this morning. But who's that guy that you're looking at in terms of coming back into summer conditioning and thinking, okay, I want to see how that body has changed, whether that be adding weight, losing weight, seeing if they've, you know, retain some of that muscle that they put on in the winter. Is there a guy for you that you're looking at saying, all right, okay, if for Texas to be as good as they can be, this is the guy that has to be, you know, maintaining that level of weight or shedding some pounds before fall camp comes rolling around?
Well, yeah, I mean, you talk about shedding weight. There's a couple that come to mind, but really the one that I think the one guy on the team, there's certainly more than one, but that I'm interested in watching, and it's a position that Texas has relied on tremendously in the last couple of years. And he's had a lot of playing times. He's shown flashes, but he's got to be the guy or he's going to get swallowed up, and that's Gunnar Helms. He's a guy that I want to see him put on some weight. I want to see him put on some strength. I want to see him be more physical at the point of attack. I want to see him fighting for balls more. You know, there's a lot that we're anticipating from that tight end position, because it would be a shame just to drop the production from the tight end just because you have guys who aren't quite physically ready or even mentally ready to do it. The stronger you are, the more work you put in, the stronger you are mentally. You know, if you can't lie to yourself. Your body knows if you paid your dues and you put in what you need to put in. And those guys that hit that weight room, put on the weight, put it on right. They just walk a little different. You know, those guys got, they just got a little more something, you know, a little more pack in their punch a little bit. And he's the one that I'm hoping will come in and show us that he's taking that next step.
Yeah, I'm with you. Of course, Sarkisian's talked about the tight end spot being just as important as any other position on the field, not named quarterback. And so when you bridge that run game with the passing game and you're kind of that dual threat guy, oh, and you're also replacing a guy that just went in the fourth round to the NFL draft, there's big shoes there. And, of course, you're now also not battling, but at the same point kind of fending off a newcomer here with Amari Nyblack. Taking that next step for Gunnar Helm would be huge. And I'm with you, Coach. That will be really exciting, which leads me to you know, some of the bodies I'm looking forward to. I want to see how Sadir Mitchell comes in. Texas has, you know, kind of looked at that defensive line room thinking, all right, we got to have some answers here. You go out, you add three guys, Jermaine Lole, Bill Norton, they both joined the fold this summer. Of course, practices will begin, or summer conditioning begins June 2nd. So I know that they're just as excited to get back out there as anybody else who's looking to run around all day in the afternoon heat at 2 p.m., Coach. But for me, and for, I think, Texas football fans, Sadir Mitchell, who came in maybe a little bit overweight in the spring, if you're running around, Coach, at 2 p.m. every single day in the summer heat, you gotta shed some pounds, right? I'll do that just walking around, let alone running gassers, doing bag drills, whatever. But I would have to imagine that's a time in which we see him return to where Texas and, you know, some folks would like him to be a little bit weight-wise.
Well, and again, it comes down to you don't have anybody breathing down your neck in May, and it doesn't take long for those big guys to get out of shape. It really doesn't. And so you get a guy who doesn't do a whole lot, you know, from the time that they finish your finals and there's no organized workouts until June 2nd. That's a lot of time for a guy to soften up, if you will. So I know that we've got some guys that are going to have to shed a few pounds, but they will. They will. And I used to tell kids, you know, when we started summer conditioning, I say, look, we can do it the easy way, or we can do it the hard way. The bottom line is when you show up in August for training camp, you will be in shape. And by the time we finish training camp, you will be in the best shape of your life. We can do it the easy way or the hard way. And so I'm hoping that these guys would have kept working all the way through their last final dead period until June 2nd. And the cream rise to the top. So there'll be some guys. There's always guys, CJ, that you weren't really thinking about, or maybe you didn't count on, or you thought it was too far of a reach, where, bam, this guy shows up 2 days. He looks like freaking, you know, Greek god. I mean, what this guy put in some work, and we missed it.
Hey, Coach, I wanted to ask you, were there any summer conditioning memories that, you know, you would walk in and say, oh, like, there's a guy that completely changed, you know, for the better, perhaps. Or, you know, you were just kind of impressed with the way that some, you know, players would approach summer conditioning versus spring or winter.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Bijan was an incredibly hard worker, very focused, he didn't mess around. I mean, he's very serious about what he did, and that's what we would expect of him. But yeah, to see the way that he went about his offseason and the way that he went about his training regimen, was he was a professional. He was a pro about it. And there's nothing I've ever seen in him, or nothing I've ever heard come out of his mouth, that didn't back that up. You know, so again, I think you have guys like him and so many others, Roshan and so many others that were on that team and even in that room, that showed the rest of us how to do it. They were the blueprint to success, I think, about, you know, making yourself the best athlete, you know, reaching your DNA potential is what I call it. And I was always very impressed with the way that he went, because there's always so much hoopla. There was so much hoopla surrounding him before he even got on campus. And then he's there and he's got the mustard and we got this, we got that. I mean, people pulling at him, Maseratis, whatever, you know, all the time. But, man, he stayed focused. He stayed true. And I think we got a pretty full roster of guys that saw that. And now that's, in turn, from what I have heard, it has really raised the level of what everybody expects of themselves and mm-hmm. expects of their teammates.
Yeah, the key to that, and one of those things that you battle when you recruit a lot of five stars, is not having that entitlement or guys who think they've already made it to campus. What's going to help here is, and I know Texas has been very precise and targeted when they go out into the transfer portal. There's two guys coming in that I have my eye on specifically that are, I think, are going to keep that hunger in each room specifically. The first is Silas Bolden. Coming in that wide receiver room, only about 5'8", 5'9", on a good day, probably. But big time production last year, a veteran guy who's been around, played college football for a while, coming to push that room a little bit for some snaps. I'm eager to see just how much he kind of infiltrates that rotation right away, what he brings in summer conditioning as well. The other one's Javion Cole, the cornerback out of San Jose State, is a guy from a lower level making that jump up here. He's kind of been counted out each level of ball that he's played in his career. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder, Coach, and he's going to be at a position in which there's a lot of guys looking at an open spot right now saying, this could be mine. How can I go grab it? So that'll push the competition forward. Of course, that all begins June 2nd, so only a few days away. You know, we're ready for some practice, some conditioning reports on all these guys, just seeing how things go. And, of course, we'll have all the updates here on Texas Football. Coach, any final thoughts before we pack things up and get out to go enjoy the rest of our Memorial Day?
Yeah, you know, it's 102 in Abilene, by the way. So I didn't win the draft, apparently, but I might have won that contest, the hottest in the hottest environment. You know, I just you know, we're talking about those guys, and it was such a shame through my years. I first started being involved indirectly, of course, with Texas when Jordan was being recruited. And then when I would go watch him practice in training camp, or even when I joined the staff in 2013, and then was there four more years with Tom Herman, it always amazed me at guys who came in and thought, okay, I'm here. I'm here. And you see that entitlement, and you see that, you know, and you have one chance to make it in the league. Let's just be blunt. There's not a kid on that roster who doesn't have dreams of making it in the NFL. To them, that is the end all be all. And that's unfortunate, because many of them will look back on their college days and go, man, I wish I spent more time hanging out with my teammates and the fun part of being college. But unfortunately, they don't seize that opportunity. They have one chance to make it. And why in the world would you loaf through a drill? Why would you loaf? You know, win every stinking sprint, you know, rep out every time, you know, you just totally exhaust yourself in the weight room. Do everything you can possibly do to help yourself meet your goals. And yet you see guys who just are lazy and entitled. And I'm certain that's the minority on the team now, but there was a time not too long ago that wasn't the minority.
Right.
And that was the majority. And you just want to shake them and you say, do you realize the opportunity that you have? You'll never have it again. And you're going to tell your kids and your grandkids a story. What are you going to tell them? You know, whose fault is it you didn't make it? And I just want to grab every one of them and just tell them that when they come in, you know. But certainly Sark and those players and that staff have got that culture changed. And so it's really fun now to see peer pressure work in a positive way, thanks to some guys who are now in the NFL who showed us the way.
Definitely. I love that line. Whose fault is it that you didn't make your dreams come true? At the end of the day, for a lot of guys who didn't make it, I'm sure the answer is right there in the mirror when they wake up. So, Coach, that's Coach 101, a little verbiage right there that I'm going to stick in my back pocket, that's for sure. So, that's great stuff. Of course, again, June 2nd coming around the corner, Coach, it sounds like it's 102 in Abilene. Go get some sprints, right? Is that what we're working on today, a little summer conditioning?
Yeah. No, absolutely not. I was out mowing today.
Well, there's your workout, and I'm sure you'll get some curls in later today with a little beer canyon maybe.
On a zero-turn mower. Yeah, it was tough work.
Well, good deal. That'll do it for today's Winning Drive. We'll be back, of course, on Thursday for another edition. Coach, we're going to tell Rod that – well, I'll give it to you. You won the poll today, all right? We're going to pull a fast one on Rod here.
Well, that means I win and I lose.
Yeah,
with Rod, I won either way. But now that I win, I kind of won and I lost.
I guess that would be the only way in which you were a double loser. So good way. Yeah, we'll keep that one out of the fold as well. So that'll do it for today. Coach, thanks for tuning in. Matthew behind the scenes, thank you very much as well. And, of course, for Rod Babers, I'm CJ Vogel. This has been On Texas Football and the Winning Drive. Y'all have a good afternoon and hook 'em.